Our scripture this evening, again, is Daniel chapter 9, verses 17 through 19. Daniel chapter 9, verses 17 through 19. And I want to think about and prepare for going into the text, thinking about what we just considered as we sang the last part of Psalm 124 just now. It closes with, it actually starts in verse 9 with, "For thy name's sake, Lord, for thy name's sake." God's name is our help in Psalm 124. God's name is our help. And in Psalm 124, the whole psalm is about, if not for the Lord, remember, if not for the Lord, the church would be gone. And as we sang in our other psalm this evening, Psalm 79, verse 9 just now, we pray that the Lord, for the Lord's name's sake, he would answer to preserve us and deliver us. Psalm 124, if not for the Lord, the church would be gone. Our text this evening, as led into, is Psalm 79. If our prayer is not for the Lord, we will be gone. Look at the text, Daniel 9, verses 17 to 19. "Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God. For thy city and thy people are called by thy name." Daniel here cries out for God to deliver his people, not for their sake, but for God's name's sake. A little while ago, I was just getting some stuff done, and I was listening to refnet.fm on the computer, and I heard, I think it was this text, if it was not Jeremiah 14, and it really caught my attention. It really struck me, the model that it is okay to pray for the church, that God would deliver the church, that God would preserve us, that God would take care of our church. It's okay to pray that, but that model also has to be followed in terms of its manner. The prayer is okay. Praying for our church that the Lord would take care of us is okay, that he would grow us and prosper and preserve us is okay, so long as we also model the prayer here in Daniel that we see the proper manner. And the manner is to make sure that our chief end is in view. That is, that our deliverance as a church would be to glorify our deliverer. And so indeed, pray for the church, beloved, as we start the new year and we think of our Psalm of the month, the Psalm of January for every year. Pray indeed for our church. Pray for your brethren's sake. Pray for Jerusalem. But pray for our church ultimately for Christ's name's sake. Not for our name's sake. Pray for our church for Christ's name's sake. That's the message for you this evening from the text. Pray for our church for Christ's name's sake. You see, the basis of our praying for our church is not our church's name's sake. The basis of our praying for our church is not our church's name's sake. Sometimes we deny our children things they ask of us. And it's not because what they ask for is wrong, but rather their motivation is obviously wrong. And we want to see that corrected first. We see that in the way they ask or how they ask or what we know is involved and what's the impetus of their asking. We know that it's actually entitlement on their mind. instead of gratitude in their heart. We know that they are acting really because they expect something of us, than because they respect us. And it's a big difference. So Daniel, he doesn't expect anything when he prays for the church. He shows respect. He doesn't demand. He begs. And by the way, anytime you see reformation happen in the church of God's people, whether it's led by Nehemiah or Daniel or Josiah or Hezekiah, it's always a corporate confession that we who like to pat ourselves on the back are now finally on our knees where we should have been all along. Daniel is praying for the church that is dispersed in a foreign land under the rule of pagans, and that is their punishment as a church from God's hand. He had been warning them again and again and again, and they did not take him or his name seriously. So he has sent these foreign nations to conquer them and to take them away after destroying his own temple and his own city. Daniel is in that context. He knows that. Later, remember, we'll see Nebuchadnezzar even acknowledge the name of God for a while and require it almost, it would seem, by law. That's always what's going on here. But the church is dispersed in this foreign land. Daniel, I think it is true, never gets to return. But he is concerned for God's name, as should be properly reflected by his people, and he is repenting on behalf of the people because he knows that's why they're there, because they haven't been. His prayer is one of a representative, representing the corporate confession and repentance of his people. He's essentially saying to God, please do this, because we acknowledge, we the people, we your people called by your name, recognize that we have dishonored your name again and again. We have disrespected your name again and again. Instead of considering it a privilege to be called your people, we presume upon your name as your people. We have essentially violated the fourth commandment. And I acknowledge that on behalf of the people. We have violated your command not to take your name in vain. And we are experiencing what you said, the reason annexed, for you will not hold us guiltless who have taken your name in vain. And so here we are in dispersion in a foreign land. Essentially, he is describing, confessing, that is, what Paul describes in Titus 1, verse 16. Essentially, Daniel is saying on behalf of the church, we profess that we know you, God, but in works we deny you, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Thus, by God's own hand, he acknowledges in verse 17 that the sanctuary is desolate. Verse 18, the people, look at our desolations. But remember, the desolation has come from God upon them because they have not valued his name and they have taken it in vain by their behavior. In verse 18, he asks God to turn his ear towards them, to turn his ears or his eyes toward them, to hear and see their situation. But essentially, return to us, because that was God turning away from them and sending them away. Ezekiel, remember, is that imagery in the beginning of God's presence with his people is up, the ark on the wheels is up, and is leaving them. And then Jeremiah is to tell the people, no, seriously, stay there and, you know, make vineyards and marry people and stay. Get ready to stay for a while, because this is from God, this desolation. This dismissal from him, even the destruction of his own temple, is actually from him to say something about you and what you in your life have said as a church about him. And so in verse 18, he asks God to turn back and look at them again, because he had turned away, because they had turned away from him. And he says, don't do this. This is interesting. He says, don't do this because of us, Lord. Don't mercifully respond and help us. Don't answer my prayer because of our righteousnesses. Do this instead because of your mercy. He's recognizing we don't deserve it due to demerit. He's acknowledging you should not answer us. You should ignore us. You should let us die in a foreign land, never to rebuild your church. That's what we deserve. So I can't possibly ask, O Lord, that you would preserve our church because of us. Instead, I just ask because of your mercy that you would do this. Verse 19, thus he asked the Lord to forgive the church. Verses 17 and 18, he says he makes supplications that he hopes would be heard. Supplication is a request for a favor. He's asking favors of the Lord. I don't deserve this. We don't deserve this. I'm asking you for you to do us a favor. And beloved, so must we as a church always approach God together, not as Pharisees, but as tax collectors. Hey, we are planning a new name. We're looking to make a new name this year. We're looking to change our name that would better communicate who we are. But let that not be about us. Our name, our new name, should only seek to better communicate about who we are in Christ and show that we are seeking by His grace to best serve Him. You see, the basis of our praying for our church is for the sake of honoring Christ's name. The basis of our praying for our church is not our church's name's sake. The basis of our praying for our church is for the sake of our honoring Christ's name. Paul speaks of the ministers, and we can think of ourselves as ministers of reconciliation and representatives of Christ as just that. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, where we were there not so long ago, the word ambassadors. In the context, the idea is that bringing two countries together through representatives. But what is that ambassador? He's not there for him. He's not there for his name. He's there to represent the king. He's there to represent the name of the king. He's there to represent the name of the king's kingdom, and that's it. And so Daniel asks God to answer for what it will say about Israel's God before the world. All these verses focus on thy, not us. Oh, not us, but thy, O Lord. Do it for you. Do it for you, O Lord. Focus is on thy face, thy sanctuary, thy great mercies, thy city, thy people. And so he appeals in verse 19, Lord, Lord, Lord. And the word Lord in the Hebrew could be translated just as in the Greek. It's related to the idea of master. Thus, he refers to himself in verse 17 as thy servant. Daniel's concern is for what God's kind condescension to his church that bears his name will say about him and his name. That's his concern. Please save us for your name's sake. What it will say about you, our Savior. Verse 17, he prays, do this for the Lord's sake. Verse 18, we are called by thy name. Verse 19, do this for thine own sake, by thy name. This is what he's asking for. This is what he's asking for that the Lord would answer. This is the ultimate goal of praying for our church, is that God's name would be exalted. Do it for you, Lord. Do it for your name in this community. Raise up your banner. Shine your light to glorify your name. So also Jeremiah 14, verses 7 and 21. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake. For our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee. Do not abhor us for thy name's sake. Similarly, Exodus 32, verses 11 to 12. God has threatened to destroy his church that he's just delivered, because so soon after he has delivered them, they're worshiping a golden calf. Moses, the type of Christ, begs for mercy that he would not destroy the people, though they must suffer a severe punishment. He begs for mercy that God would not completely destroy the people. And what is his reason? What is his bargaining with God, so to speak? What will the Egyptians say about you if you don't follow through on your deliverance all the way to the promised land? What will that say about you, O Lord, if you don't, if you destroy them after delivering them from Egypt and through the Red Sea? What will they say about you, Lord? That's his concern. That's his motivation to not completely destroy but preserve the church for God's name's sake, for his witness. And it's the right motivation. After all, he's appealing, it would seem, to Exodus 9, verse 16, during the plagues. God is doing this and taking his time. Why? To show he's the Lord and there is none else to all the world. And he speaks to Pharaoh and says in Exodus 9, 16, "And in very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth." So too, when he's establishing and dedicating the temple, King Solomon prays in 1 Kings chapter 8 and following, and you can see it represented similarly in 2 Chronicles 6, 32 and following. And this isn't everything. You'd almost really want to quote the whole prayer, but here's a large part of it. King Solomon prays to the Lord. Notice he's anticipating that the church will once again, just as he does, take God's name in vain by what they do. And so he prays ahead, thinking of that, just expecting it, just as Moses said, "You're going to do this," in the end of Deuteronomy. Moreover, Solomon prays at the dedication of the temple. "Moreover, concerning a stranger that is not of thy people Israel, but cometh out of a far country, for thy name's sake, for they shall hear of thy great name, and of thy strong hand, and of thy stretched out arm, when he shall come and pray toward this house, hear thou in heaven, thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all people of the earth may know thy name, to fear thee, as do thy people Israel, and that they may know that this house which I have builded is called by thy name. If thy people go out to battle against their enemy, whithersoever thou shalt send them, and shall pray unto the Lord toward the city which thou hast chosen." Now keep in mind, we're in Daniel now. They didn't. So they've been dispersed and it's been destroyed. "But if they pray while they're at war toward the house that I have built for thy name, then hear thou in heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause." Church, you who are the household of God, call upon his name for his name's sake alone. Soli Deo Gloria. Pray with fervor. Pray with focus. The first petition of the Lord's Prayer: "Hallowed be thy name. And pray it with focus and fervor, fleshing it out with these following prayers. Psalm 25, verse 11. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Psalm 31, verse 3. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Psalm 109, verse 21. But do thou for me, O God the Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul. Oh, pardon me, I lost track here. But do thou for me, O God the Lord, for thy name's sake, because thy mercy is good, deliver thou me. Psalm 115, verses 1 to 2. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? Psalm 143, verse 11. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And as you sang tonight, Psalm 79, verses 9 to 10 in part, the church is to sing and pray, help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us, and purge away our sins for thy name's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is their God? Pray like that, and see what the answer will be for such a prayer for deliverance from the deliverer. When you are praying for the sake of the name of Jesus Christ for the church, Christ will deliver and preserve his church that bears his name. Verses 20 to 27 of Daniel chapter 9. And whiles I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my, before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yea, whiles I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth. And I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Now, therefore, and know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Well, we can't get into all of it, but notice, Messiah the Prince, who is he talking about? He's talking about Jesus Christ. Notice he says you have to seal this revelation for a time. Where is it open, beloved? Do you remember our study in Revelation? In Revelation by Jesus Christ. There it says, don't seal it. Keep it open, because the time has come. The Son of Man, the Messiah, the Prince, has come. Ultimately, the church's answer to be heard and delivered is completely given by Messiah the Prince. Notice Daniel's praying, and because he's praying for the name of Christ, before he's even done praying, the answer is coming from Gabriel. And it is in Jesus Christ. He will deliver. Daniel's Son of Man in chapters 7 and 8. The one, remember, who is going to ascend on the cloud in glory we saw in recent texts. That's Jesus before the Ancient of Days. Daniel's Messiah the Prince is the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9 verse 6. The same identity shown in the book of Revelation, such as in chapter 1 verse 5. Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of the kings of the earth, him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Here is your motivation to pray for the name of Christ, the sake of Christ's name, that he would take care of his church. Here's your motivation. Messiah, the Prince, will answer that prayer. Thus in the Beatitudes, Messiah the Prince, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's. For my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Matthew 5, verses 10 to 12. Further, Jesus says, your Messiah the Prince says, you who call out for his church on behalf of his name to answer. Chapter 10, verse 22. Christ says, ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. What's more, later on in chapter 19 of Matthew, verse 29, Christ says to you, and everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. Christ's name's sake is the only proper cause for your prayer for this church, and Christ's name's sake is the only reason that he will ever answer in the affirmative to your request for his gracious, merciful preservation of us here. There will always be the temptation for us to pray for our church for our own sake, for our own name's sake. Maybe because of all that we have stood for. Maybe because of all that we still stand for. Maybe because of all we've gone through. Maybe because of all we've been going through still. Maybe because we carry the name Puritan. Maybe even because with our name changed, we'll continue to carry the name Puritan. But that cannot and it must not be why we pray for Christ to take care of us and to continue us on. Pray for our church to survive indeed. Pray for our church to thrive indeed, but not for our own name's sake. Pray for our church, but pray for our church for Christ's name's sake. Let us pray. O Lord God, lead us into paths of righteousness for thy name's sake. And we close praying as you taught your church to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Before we are dismissed in the name of Christ, by Christ, for whom and by whom we exist, we will sing once more to him, Psalm 134, page 301. Please stand. Da, 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 da. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye that his attendants are. Even you that in God's temple be, and praise him nightly there. Your hands within God's holy place, lift up. You who have come to bless the name of Messiah the Prince now receive his princely, priestly blessing upon the church that bears his name. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and his great name and give thee in his name peace. Amen.